Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Why don't we open in a word of prayer tonight? God bless you guys. Lord, we come before you and thank you for the gathering and your presence in our midst. We know that as we gather together, you have committed to be with us. Lord, you are. You're always with us. You never leave, never forsake. But we thank you for that added dimension of your presence that comes as we gather together. And we ask you for grace tonight to open our ears and our understanding, the understanding of our heart being opened, God, that we may be able to see greater things out of your word. Holy Spirit, revealing yourself to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Just real quick, I have a little story before we get started. There was a pastor who decided to give his congregation a visible demonstration to add emphasis to his Sunday morning sermon on temperance. And so he had four worms that were placed in the four separate jars. And the first worm was put in a container of booze. The second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. And the fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil. So at the conclusion of the sermon, the pastor reported the following results. First worm in alcohol, dead. Second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. Third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. Fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive. And so the pastor asks his church, it says, well, what can we learn from this demonstration? And this elderly lady in the back raised her hand quickly and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. It's kind of what happened in that thing. I'm not sure that's what he had anticipated. The results of that illustration, but that's what they say happened. So glad to see you out tonight. Last week, if you weren't here, some of you were flooded out and couldn't make it last Wednesday night. Or if this is your first time and you didn't get the previous lessons, there are lessons number 2 and 1 that are available on the table, and you can get those as you go out. They are also online, the video of it, and you can follow along with the notes if you want to. That's at newlifekingman.com, and then go to messages, right? Isn't that what it says? Or videos, or anyway, you'll find it. If you need help, ask younger Alex back there. Anyway, it's online, and so that'd be great. And if we run out of those extra lessons, because lesson one, there were just a few that were left. If you need some, don't ever hesitate to ask me. I always like to get that study material into your hands. And I would just encourage you, take the notes with you and go over them through the week. There's a lot of material. We cover it pretty quickly. And so I'd encourage you to just get a refresher during the course of the week. Maybe use it as a devotional sometime, just going over it, and believe that God will help us in that, right? So we're continuing our study on the Holy Spirit. And last week we began talking about specific ways the Helper helps us. And we talked about that He helps us love. The Holy Spirit pours God's love into our heart. And how many know we need a lot of love? Amen. Somebody said all you need is love. But anyway, the Holy Spirit helps us by teaching us. He reveals God's word to us. And so both of the previous lessons, I mentioned how important it is for us to carry with us the understanding that the Holy Spirit lives inside us always. Jesus said He would abide with us forever. Say forever. And that's what He says in John 14, verse 16. Jesus saying, I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. So the moment we are born again, we have invited the Holy Spirit to come and live in our hearts, and He lives in us. So we are never alone. Amen. We are never alone. He lives in us, right? He walks with us, He talks with us, and He tells us we are His own. That's from an old chorus. Some of you remember that. He walks with me and He talks. But anyway, he is always with us. And so He leads us, He guides us, He teaches us, and He gives us God's love, pours God's love into our hearts, and the companionship of God comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." The New International Version reads it this way: "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And so as Paul is closing out the letter to the Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthians, he finishes with a statement concerning his desire for believers. And he includes a reference to the Trinity by saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the love of God, the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And so one of the big purposes, greatest purposes for the Holy Spirit is to fellowship so that God can fellowship or commune with us. And my prayer during this series is that we'll be able to realize how deeply God desires to not only be with us, but in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. We know, probably most of us know, what fellowship means. The word fellowship, it's fellowship, you know, it's hanging out. It literally means that we participate together. And so, in other words, we get to know each other. When we fellowship, we get to know each other, right? And so the purpose of the Holy Spirit living inside us is so that we can get to know God better. We fellowship with God through the person of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And so I want you to tell yourself, He lives in me. If we have been born again, He lives in us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Aren't you glad for that? Fear is not of God, and we didn't receive that spirit of fear, that bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. This tells us the Holy Spirit lets us know how close we are to God. He lets us know that we're the children of God. He confirms in our hearts that we're God's children. And so we need to know that we are never alone. God's always with us, lives in us, moves in us, reveals things to us, helps us. He's our companion. He's the helper. And God knows we need a lot of help. And that's why Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another helper." And paraphrase, because you need a lot of help. We need a lot of help. And everybody said, "I need a lot of help." The Holy Spirit anoints us. In 1 John chapter, I got to get back in my thing here. My tech has given me a little hassle here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." You have an anointing. Every one of us here, we have been saved. We have an anointing. Now, you may not have realized it, but you have an anointing. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. As Jesus walked on the earth, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and went about doing good. And our ability, we're going to kind of mine this out a little bit tonight in various ways, but our ability to go about doing good comes through the Holy Spirit. And it also helps us to heal others. And so we have an anointing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's anointing is to enable us. That's what the anointing does. It enables us. Someone defined anointing as the ability to get results. And so the results that Jesus had when he was walking here on the earth as God-man, to do good and to heal the oppressed, was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with two loaves or five loaves and two small fish, that was the anointing. When Jesus healed that leprous man, full of leprosy, and he said, "I will heal you," and so he was healed. That was the anointing. When Jesus met that demoniac from Gadara, here's a guy that had been breaking chains. They had tried to chain him up. He lived in the tombs. He cried out all night. This guy was tormented. And he fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus, one encounter with the anointed Son of God, and he got delivered and set free. And it freaked everybody out. In fact, it freaked everybody out so bad, they said, "Jesus, you know," and I'm paraphrasing, but they said, "This is a little too real for us. Can you go?" And he did go, but he came back later. And then, because of this guy's testimony, people came from everywhere, bringing the sick and the tormented and released miracles. And so what that was, Jesus' ability to go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed, came through the anointing. Everything that Jesus did was the anointing. And so, the anointing is the Holy Spirit's influence on us. I want to read Acts 10:38 again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was heavily influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word anoint literally means to smear or to rub on. And so we pray for the sick in a number of different ways. Sometimes it's as a group, sometimes individually. Sometimes we'll anoint with oil. And I've done this, and numbers of us have. We take anointing oil and touch somebody on the forehead and then begin to pray and kind of, you know, rub that, smear that in, anoint them with oil. So I got to tell you a story. Some of you haven't heard this. First time I was, when I was a young pastor, and this goes back, 44 years or something, a long time ago. About 1979, so that was quite a while ago. Anyway, God had been dealing with me about praying for the sick, and I'd been raised in a full gospel church, and so I'd prayed for people before, but this was the first time as el pastor, you know, as the pastor, and so I'd been feeling like I needed to have a prayer line and pray for the sick, and so I called people forward and began to pray with people and had a bottle of anointing oil, and the It was Pioneer Church. Had been pioneered by Joe Whitinger. Joe and Becky had been there for a couple of years. I followed them pastoring there. I'm brand new, young pastor and real green. And so his mom came forward in that prayer line, and she had formerly been Catholic and was real dignified, quiet, and small, little petite lady, very self-composed. And so she comes up for prayer, and so I have that bottle of oil, and I dip my finger in it. I just touch her on the head and began to pray for her, and then I felt her. She began to fall out, and she wasn't this. I mean, this, I didn't push her. This was the Holy Spirit touched her, and she began to go over. Never had seen her do this kind of thing before. When she clapped, it was like, you know, she's very quiet. And so never given to expressions emotionally or anything. But, I mean, the power of God hit her. And I was so surprised. I didn't have anybody to, you know, now we have people behind to catch, hopefully. But this is way back, and so I didn't have it. There wasn't anybody standing behind her. It was just me. So I reached behind her, took her by the back, and was helping her down. But I had that bottle of oil in my hand, and as she's going down, I'm just going glug, glug, you know. And it just glugs all over. Gosh, man, I was so embarrassed, and I didn't even ask her after. I just went on and started praying for other people. And it was like, seriously, 20 years later, Joe was pastoring in Flagstaff, her son, and she was living in Flag at that time. And so I was over, we were talking about old times, and I said, Sister Whitinger, do you remember that time when I prayed for you and I glugged you with all that oil? And she goes, I sure do. And I said, did you get healed? And she said, I sure did. So it all worked. But the anointing comes, and it means to smear or to rub. In the Old Testament, when they anointed a new king or a prophet, they would take oil and pour it on or smear it or rub it on them. And so they were anointed, and it was symbolic. This oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit's anointing them. Something happens to us when the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One of God. And so you ought to tell yourself tonight, I have an anointing. We have an anointing. The anointing means that the personality of the Holy Spirit who lives in us will begin to rub off on us. Right? We need the Holy Spirit to rub off on us and His influence. The time we spend with God in prayer and meditation is so important. And we may not have realized it, but it's during this time when we are praying and spending some time with God that we interact with the Holy Spirit. You know, if we spend more time with people who aren't saved than with people who are saved, you know what will happen? They'll begin to rub off on us, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I want to pause for a moment here because I'm not saying that we avoid people that aren't saved, because if we do that, then nobody's going to get saved. Their hope is us and being who we are, salt and light and sharing Christ. But if our whole hangout time is with unbelievers, then we need to be careful, because they can begin to rub off on us. When I was in the first grade, I hung around with a kid who was a juvenile delinquent. It's hard to believe that a six-year-old, but I mean, this kid, I think George Thorogood came up with his song, Bad to the Bone, from this, inspired by this kid. He was a trip. And so, but I hung around with him, and he influenced me. The first time I ever stole anything was with him. We were in this little dime store. Remember dime stores? This is before dollar store, way before. So we went to a dime store, and we had made this deal, me and this kid and another kid, that we were gonna steal something. And so, man, I'm practically sweating. So this guy was our ringleader. He was the one that inspired us. He was the one that came up with the whole idea. And so we go in and I got some little plastic cowboys and Indians, stuffed them in my pocket and looked around, and got out, got into the car, went home, and man, I'm waiting for the lights to shine. I'm waiting to get arrested. But we got out to the car, we talked to him afterwards, and I said, "You guys get something?" And he goes, "No, no. I was the only one that stole anything. It was this ringleader, man. What a jerk." Anyway. I'm not blaming my theft on him, but kind of am, aren't I? But because what was that scripture I just used? Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And that's what happened. My mom didn't like me hanging out with him because she knew he was going to rub off on me, and he did. If we hang out with the wrong people, their personalities and their bad traits can rub off on us. Whoever we spend time with can rub off on us. And so, I'm just going to interject something. This is why we really do need to be careful about what we watch on TV. The media, television and internet and all that, it's not a passive medium. There is an agenda. And, a lot of us, I remember the days when I was younger and my parents or my grandmother or something, they would be shocked by some of the stuff on TV. Man, I tell you what, now I'm that one. Wow, I can't believe what they're, And so we need to be careful about what we watch on TV or on the internet, because there's an agenda to influence us. And so it'll rub off on us. You can't view things that are immoral and have a diet of that without it rubbing off. And I Cindy and I watch TV. We watch a lot of Hallmark and stuff like that. But now even some of the Hallmark stuff you can't. I mean, my gosh, man, it's just crazy the day and time we live in. I'm telling you. But seriously, we have to be careful about what we watch and view, and because it tries to rub off on us. But as powerful and as negative of an influence as other things are, whether it's other people or the media, they are nothing compared to the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. He is not an it, he's a him, the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a personality, and when we spend time with him, his personality will influence us. At the beginning of the class tonight, we talked about the communion of the Holy Spirit, and it really means just simply spending time with him, talking to him, communing, fellowshipping with him, taking some time. And so the Holy Spirit will have an easier time influencing us when we spend time in prayer, meditate on him and on the Word and getting in God's Word. What this does is it gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. I mean, we need to give him something to work with. Right? Help me out there. John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, if we're spending time with him in the Word and in prayer, then we're giving him something to work with and a chance to bring something to our remembrance. He wants to rub off on us, and his influence will be incredible. He'll give us ability to do things we never thought we could do before. He will influence us to influence others. And I want to read again 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. We have an anointing, and a good confession for all of us every day would be, I have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and he's rubbing off on me. Now, this is just more than, you know, yeah, I know, I've heard it over and again, God lives in me and all. We need to know this deep inside, and that is that we carry in us the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He dwells in us. He lives in us. And we need to carry this with us all the time. It'll make a difference in how we live. It will. It'll make a difference in what we watch. It'll make a difference in every area of our life if we carry with us understanding constantly that God lives in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. You believe that? John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And he lives in us. Once we are born again, we're born what? Of the Spirit, right? We're born of the Spirit, and so the Spirit of God lives inside us. And we need to get to know him better. We need to get to know the Holy Spirit. That's the reason for this class, is to get to know him better, and so that he can influence us more. And if we will allow him to, we can become more sensitive to his voice and learn to recognize his voice better. When we first started out in this class, I mentioned there are a lot of believers who feel like God never talks to them. But I am convinced that he talks to us a lot more than what we may realize. Yes. He speaks to us. The personal Holy Spirit speaks to us. It's the Holy Spirit's voice making us feel uncomfortable if we're watching something that isn't right on TV. If you're getting ready to go to that site online and you feel that's, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. When we're getting ready to say something that we shouldn't say, if we'll listen, the Holy Spirit will say, you better not do that. You better not say that. I have been in our office with our staff at times with my mouth open, getting ready to say something, and the Holy Spirit tell me, you better shut it. Now, I don't know that he really spoke those specific words, but the impression was very strong. And sometimes I listen to him. Sometimes I don't, granted. But if we will listen, he'll speak to us, help keep us from putting our feet in our mouth. If we'll allow him, and we can get to know his voice better. It's his voice that will tell us that we should apologize to somebody, like our husband or a wife or a family member or somebody we go to church with. So, you know what? You just ought to apologize for that. When we have not heeded the voice of the Holy Spirit, we went ahead and said it, and then we know, man, I shouldn't have said that. We ought to just allow the Holy Spirit to then tell us, you ought to apologize. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's voice in us when on a Sunday morning, we get up and we think about going to church, and, you know, we're just kind of moody and feel more like staying at home. And, you know, but that something inside says, you need to go. I cannot tell you how many times over the years that I've been pastoring that I have had people come to me after a Sunday morning sermon or even a Wednesday night or whatever and say, you know what, I almost didn't come, but I came, and that was right for me. And so what helps us is the Holy Spirit helping us to motivate us. The Holy Spirit will encourage us and speak to us to speak a word of encouragement to somebody. And listen, you know, a word for somebody that can be from the Holy Spirit, it isn't like we have to have lightning bolts, you know, wham, hit us, and all of a sudden we start shaking. And, you know, I have had times where I felt, you know, fairly inspired like that, shaking and stuff, and gave a word to somebody. But a lot of times the Holy Spirit will just speak in a still small voice and say, just speak a word of encouragement to that person. And it can make the difference in that person's life. If we'll just listen, he will, because prophecies, edification, exhortation, and comfort, a lot of times we just speak that word of comfort. We may not have any idea at the time what we're doing, but if we will listen and let the Holy Spirit speak through us, it doesn't have to be this heavy revy. It can be just a word of encouragement and of life that we give to others, right? Amen. And so that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to us. In John 16:14, Jesus said, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. A lot of us, maybe all of us here, have been at times maybe driving in our car and just thinking about the goodness of God or thinking about Jesus and how what he's done in our lives and been moved to tears. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit moving on us. We've been in church services where we sense just a fresh, renewed revelation of Jesus, and we get moved on. You know what that is? That's the person of the Holy Spirit. At home, just sitting there and thinking, and all of a sudden a thought about Jesus and what he's done. And so what that is, again, is the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us. We can become more sensitive to his voice. And the more we are sensitive to him, the more sensitive we become. If we ignore his voice, the less sensitized we are. And so we need to pay attention. Tell yourself, pay attention. The anointing means the Holy Spirit's influence will rub off on us. He will enable us. He'll enable us to talk to others about Jesus. He will enable, you know, there are, every one of us here are qualified to lay hands on the sick so that the sick can recover. You may think, well, that's for somebody else that, you know, who feels, you know, that leading. But Jesus said, if those that believe will lay hands on the sick, all you have to do is believe. And what is that belief? Belief in Jesus and that it's him working and not you. We can't heal anybody of anything. We don't have that ability. We don't have that innate ability. But through the Holy Spirit working through us, we can lay hands on the sick and they recover. It'll blow your mind what God will do through us if we'll just let him. Speak words of encouragement to each other, right? Anointing, rub off on us. Okay. Roman numeral 2, the Holy Spirit helps us live the life. And what I mean by that is the Christian life. No one in our own ability, we cannot pull off living the Christian life. It's impossible. Before I gave my life to Christ, I knew a guy in high school that got saved, And one day he was dropping acid, the next day he's preaching Jesus. And I looked at him and thought, well, that's good for you, because you were getting ready to get busted. And so now you're, that's good. But I could not see myself doing that. I couldn't. And I was thinking with a carnal mind, a natural mind, I thought, well, that's good for him. But that's just not me. And it wasn't. It wasn't me. I was trying to picture myself living the Christian life while I was a heathen, you know, and it just didn't work. We cannot do the Christian life in our own ability. Amen. Now, there are people who try, and you know what they are? They're religious. Yeah. And they get mean, and that's why some of the meanest people you'll ever meet in the world are religious people. Yes. You know why? They're frustrated trying to live for God on their own ability. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to pull off being a Christian without God's help and anointing. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing. Can't do it. Not good. Right? Just nod at me like you're hearing it. Okay, thanks. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 13 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Now catch this in the context here. So it talks about the Spirit, that the resurrection power by the Spirit lives in us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. See, this portion of Scripture tells us how we can live a disciplined life, resist temptation, and overcome bad habits and addictions. Now, some of you may be, how did you get all that out of that? The key phrase is by the Spirit. It is not by our own strength. Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel and to us tonight, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We will never be able to pull off doing anything for God in our own ability. It's by his power and his might. And this is especially true when it comes to living a righteous or clean life, or whatever, however you want to define that, living the Christian life, living it. Our old man, and Pastor Poole talked about it this last weekend, our old man dead. We need to leave him dead and live in the newness of life. The only way we can do that is by the Spirit. Now, some of you have heard me talk about this before. The first time I remember, right after becoming a Christian, this was back in 1975, I'd only been saved for about a week. And I lived in a little dumpy trailer court in Flagstaff where I got saved. And I used to call this place Sodom and Gomorrah. It was everything in the world went on in this little trailer court. And so I lived in the very back of it. And right after I got saved, within a week, I was 19, just turned 19. There was a girl about 17 or so. It was really pretty. Moved into the trailer just across from me, and she was pretty. And so she came out. She had long blonde hair. She started talking to me, and she started laying it on heavy. Talked about how cool her mom is anytime I wanted to come on over. And, I mean, she is putting the moves on me. And here I am. I've just been a Christian for a week, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, man, you know. This didn't happen every day before I got saved, but it's happening. And I was a single guy, and it's not, you know, I was not totally stupid either. You know, she's putting the moves on, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, maybe there is a devil. Maybe this is a temptation. So I'd like to tell you that I just preached the gospel to her. I was brand new convert. I said something to the effect of, God's kind of doing something in my life now. And, it was a pretty weak witness, you know. But I took a stand. And it was like I poured a bucket of cold water on her. She turned and went away. And I went back in that trailer. And I just, I knew that I was different. That it wasn't just me resisting temptation. It was the Holy Spirit that helped me. Another week after that, somebody was offering me a free bag of dope and the same trailer cord. I thought, my gosh, man. You know, where were these people several weeks ago? But the Holy Spirit helps us. If we will allow Him to, He'll help us live the Christian life. This is also referred to walking in the Spirit, okay? I'm going to cover some ground here. I got some self-imposed time limits here. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Walking in the Spirit isn't just some mysterious, you know, I have, over the years, I've seen people who kind of acted like they're walking in the Spirit, and they were just, right, kind of spacey and just weird, you know, and so I think that's what they called walking in the Spirit, but That isn't, walking in the Spirit isn't this spiritual trance or being disconnected from reality. The Bible tells us specifically what it is, and what it is following the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives as opposed to following the leading of our own flesh. Right? Galatians 5, 19 through 25 says, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of the which I told you before, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so the works of the flesh are all these things. That's really just following the desires of what we used to desire before we got saved and what the flesh tries to bring our way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. It's just following our new nature's desire. And this is what walking the Spirit is all about. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit who lives in us to help us. And we can learn to follow His lead better and better. When we're tempted to do something or say something or we're thinking something that isn't right, the Holy Spirit, listen, He will caution us. It's like He's done with me at times when our staff is together. I have my mouth open getting ready to say something that I really ought not say, and He said, just shut it. Say, well, that's just you thinking about it. Well, I don't know. I think the Holy Spirit talks to us that way. Sometimes I know that I have heard Him in my heart say, shut up. I know I've heard Him say that. Quite often, actually. So, but the more we respond to Him, the more sensitive we'll become to His voice. The more we ignore Him, the more insensitive will become to Him. And walking in the Spirit is simply following His lead. And we want to do that, don't we? Next week, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to combine, actually, because we, the first week of this month was when we got snowed out, right? Wasn't that it? Yeah, that was the weird thing again. So I was supposed to start the class, and this was going to be a four-week series. So we got knocked out of that one. So what we're doing next Wednesday, we're having our prayer and worship service, but we're going to kind of combine it with class. I'm going to teach some on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to have praise and worship, and we're going to pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so don't miss it for anything. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want to lead you in a prayer and a confession tonight. Just speak this out with me and pray this with me. If you're viewing online, you just pray along with us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Spirit. Thank you for His anointing. His influence is rubbing off on me. Help me to be more sensitive to His voice, His leading, and His guidance. I am never alone because the Holy Spirit lives and abides in me forever. Thank you for that assurance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, I pray that you seal these words in our hearts. Cause them to be deeply rooted in us. Help us to realize that we are never alone. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You've given us the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. Help us to know the influence that is there within us all the time through the person of the Holy Spirit. His anointing moving through us and touching not only our lives, but others through us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you didn't get the previous classes, they'll be out on that table in the back. And if we run out of any of them, just hit me up and I'll get you one. The ones that I run off, they're only $49.95. And so, no, they're all free.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.